Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Today, today.
Hey, people of God. My name is Nicole Seabrooks. This is Bible Reading Class with Runner for Christ Ministries. Thank you for joining us each week. You are truly a blessing from God. You can help us by letting someone know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Today, we're reading from Psalm chapters 111 through 115, and after that, we will answer the review questions. Questions are posted on our website every week. If you'd like to join us today by answering a question, if you would like to ask a question or simply make a comment, you can press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. You'll be put into the host queue, and your mic will be opened. This is a friendly reminder to help us keep background noise at a minimum. If you're not speaking, please keep your phone on mute, and then you can take yourself off mute when you would like to speak. Before we get started, let us take a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this Bible reading class. We thank you for your people. We're so grateful for your word. Thank you that each and every week as we look into your word, it becomes clearer and clearer just how blessed we are. And to know that you are our Father. Holy Spirit, we invite you to lead this class today. Illuminate your word. Give us clarity. Now we're going to listen to Psalm chapters 111 through 115, and I will meet you on the other side. Amen.
Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, and acted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, a hard rock into springs of water. Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
All right, guys. Good evening, good evening. That was Psalm 111 through 115. We can go ahead and get started with our questions. Question number one, in the 111th Psalm, how long does the psalmist indicate that God's covenant is guaranteed with his people?
I hear verses 5 through 9.
Very good.
He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. All he does is just and good, and all his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever, with the holy, awe-inspiring name he has.
Beautiful. Thank you. So how long is his covenant?
Forever.
Amen. Thank you, Reese. All right. Question number two. What Cancer disposition is the foundation of true wisdom?
I have 111 10, and it states, "Fear the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom." And with that, I will read the footnotes to go along with that to clarify.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon.
Right. And it reads as follows. The only way to become truly wise is to fear or reverent God. This same thought is expressed in Proverbs chapter 1, 7 through 9. Too often people want to skip this step, thinking they can become wise by life experience and academic knowledge alone. But if we do not acknowledge God as the source of wisdom, then our foundation for making wise decisions is shaky, and we are prone to mistakes, foolish choices. Ain't that the truth?
All right.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for adding that, Oliver. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Very good. So fear of the Lord is the true foundation of wisdom. Let's move on to number three. The psalmist in 112 describes the person who fears the Lord. How will their children be blessed, and what is the result of their generosity and righteous conduct?
112.
1 through 3. Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
What was that?
I have
verses
1 through 3.
Oh,
3?
I went to 6.
Okay. All right. Yes, we can go on down to 6.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Biggie. Oh, okay. 1 second. Let me get my book. Chapter 112 verses, 112 verses 1 through 6, Psalms 112.
Uh-huh.
Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Watch out there.
Well, That's a beautiful thing. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed when God's people delight in obeying his commands. That's a beautiful thing. All right. Thank you, Eric. Number four, how does the person who fears the Lord handle bad news?
Seven and eight.
All right, yep, 7 and 8.
Okay. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly.
Exactly. Amen.
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 Number 9? Verse 9?
Well, 9, okay.
Oh. I'm sorry. You were correct.
Okay.
All right. Wow. So the person who fears the Lord, they handle bad news steadfastly. They're secure. They're secure in the God who looks over them. Number 5. How does the wicked one respond when they see the affairs of one who fears the Lord?
Well, I've got 1:12.
9 and 2.
Verse 10 by itself. And
yeah.
Read,
yeah.
The wicked will see. Okay. The wicked will see this. And be, how do you pronounce that?
Infuriated.
That means mad, right?
Yeah.
Super mad.
They will grind their teeth in anger, and they will slink away, their hopes throb. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So there's benefits in fearing the Lord and obeying him, and ultimately those who are wicked, they don't like to see it, and we see that every day in our society.
Yes, we do.
All right, which takes us to number 6. The psalmist in 113 calls God's people to give praise the name of the Lord, and let the name of the Lord be praised. How long is God's people commissioned to praise his greatness?
I said 113, 1 to 3, but I wasn't sure if I need to include verse 4, too.
I had 1 to 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can include 4. Yeah, there's no wrong answer with that.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes, give praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever. Everywhere from east to west, praise the name of the Lord. For the Lord is high above the nations. His glory is higher than the heavens.
Amen. So God's
Amen.
People are commissioned to praise the Lord. How long?
Forever.
We're going to do it forever. Forever. Very good. Thank you. All right. And number 7. The one who sits on high also stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. How does the Lord God show his intimacy with the poor and childless woman?
113, I had 5 through 9.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Take it away.
All righty. Who can be compared with the Lord, our God, who is enthroned on high? He stoops to look down on heaven and on earth. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes and even the prince of his own people. He gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so this guy who is so high, he is above heaven and earth, he also wants to be intimate with his people. And this psalm shows us how he deals with the poor. He lifts them up from the dust. And he sets them among princesses and the princes of his own people. And the childless woman, he makes her a mother and he gives her a family. And so he's intimate with us. He wants a relationship with us. He didn't just create the world and then not want to deal with us. He actually wants to be intimate with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. So that takes us to number 8. The 114th Psalm celebrates the deliverance God gave his people from Egypt. When he delivered them from Egypt, how did God establish Judah and Israel?
114:1-2.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Yes, ma'am.
When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, when the family of Jacob left the foreign land, the land of Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel became his kingdom.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. So God would be king, and he would rule from the temple. Amen. Very good. Number 9. How did the sea and mountains react when God came to rescue his people?
114:3-4.
Ooh.
I went to 6.
Yeah.
I went to 3.
I had that for the next question. I have 5-7.
I have 7.
Yeah, sometimes they can overlap, but you can go down to 6, and then we'll recap it again in the next one.
Okay. The mountains skip like rams, the hills like lambs. What's wrong, Red Sea, that made you hurry out of their way? What happened, Jordan River, that turned you away? Why mountains did you skip like rams? Why hills like lambs?
All right. So even the earth responds to the presence of God. And then let's go to number 10. How does the earth respond in the presence of the Lord?
Now that I had 7 and 8.
Yeah. Okay.
Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Judah. He turned the rock into a pool of water. Yes, a spring of water flowed from solid rock.
Okay. Can y'all help me with that
mm-hmm.
one?
Absolutely.
Just kind of help me see how that one tag on number 8. I'm not getting number 8. I see number 7. But how does 8 tag in to number 7? That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, it just kind of flows together because
what's flowing?
What was that?
What is flowing? So I know where we're at. I'm on the same page.
Because he turned the rock into a pool of water.
Okay.
And it was a spring which flows from the solid rock. So that means that the earth, in the presence of the Lord, he made the rocks give them water. And when did you do that? The quote at the bottom? I can't read the footnotes because I'm on my tablet.
Okay, so see if this helps, Eric. It says when God gave the law, this is 14:7. It says when God gave the law at Mount Sinai, the mountain trembled in God's presence. Even without great technology, the sea, rivers, and mountains still present us with a formidable challenge. But to God, who controls nature, they are as nothing. When observing the power of the ocean wave or the majesty of the mountain's peak, think of God's greatness and glory, which are far more awesome than the nature wonders you can see. To tremble of God's presence means to recognize God's complete power and authority of our frailty by comparison. So,
amen.
Right. So it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, we got all this technology, all this great stuff, but we got to have machines to do it, to break up something. But God didn't have to do that. He just did it because he God. He just that boss.
Amen. He's sovereign over all of creation.
Amen.
Beautiful.
You know,
here's another example.
Remember when Jesus and his disciples were in the boat and they were going across the on the water, and the storm came up and they're frightening everybody? Who told the winds and the storm to stop?
Okay.
Jesus, the one who is sovereign over all creation. Amen.
So that's a good example.
Excellent.
Right there.
Yes.
Just like when he told Peter he could walk on water. As long as he believed in Jesus, he could walk. As soon as he started to doubt, he started to sink.
And if you look at Psalms 96:9, it says, worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. So there's not a person or nothing on earth that it better bow down to him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And can you imagine Moses got to see all of this?
96.
The children of Israel got to see all these things. They got to see the Red Sea part. The Jordan River dry up. They saw those mountains tremble. They saw all these things. And can you imagine? It was still hard for some of them to believe.
thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. We got you.
Not if you said what you said.
You're welcome.
If you guys have said what you said, I understand. But I'm like, where does that fit in? But I see now.
Yeah. So
thank you.
So you remember when got water from a rock?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's what I looked at on there. That's what I thought about on that one. But I was trying to see how. But now that I had to read the question again, and after I read the question, I said, okay, now I see it all now. Okay.
All right.
I had was 114:7, but now I see the whole thing. Okay, thank you.
Beautiful. You're welcome. Teamwork makes the dream work. All right. That takes us to 115. In the 115th Psalm, why does the glory belong to God and not us?
I just did 15:1.
That's what I said.
I didn't know. Is 15:1, does that cover it all?
That covers it all.
It goes to 8.
Okay, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So the glory does not belong to us. It belongs to God because of his unfailing love and faithfulness. We fail all the time.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Number 12. When Israel was asked by idol-worshiping nations, where is your God? What are the differences described between Israel's God and the gods of these idol-worshiping nations?
2 to 8.
So true.
Beautiful.
Why let the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens, and he does as he wishes. Their idols are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak. They have eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, and feet but cannot walk, and throats but cannot make a sound. And those who make idols are just like them, are all who trust in them.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Reese.
Also, the footnote is good on that one, too.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. that's right, and a little smaller. Hold on. When the Psalms were written, many people worship idols, statues of wood, stones, or metal. They took pride in what they could see and had contempt for what they could not see. Today, we still may value tangible objects, homes, clothing, possessions, rather than the intangible reality, spiritual growth, salvation, given to those in need, spending time with loved ones. Those who spend their time obtaining tangible objects are as foolish and empty as the idols themselves. That's it.
Wow. That's pretty deep, you know, especially when you think about how we are being conformed into the image of our God, you know, who is the true and living God. And it's clear here that when your God is an idol, you're being conformed to that idol as well.
Amen.
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 Thank you. The psalmist, so number 13, the psalmist encourages God's people to trust in the Lord. What are the benefits when they trust in the Lord?
Number 13?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
No.
I have 9 through 11 or 9 and 10?
9 through 11.
Yeah.
I got 9 through 11.
Okay, I wrote over it. That's why I was asking myself. But anyway, it says, O Israel, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. O priests, descendants of Aaron, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. And all you fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. Amen.
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 In every aspect.
When we trust in the Lord, clearly he is our helper and our shield.
Yeah.
Amen.
I agree 100%. That's really a wow.
Wow. Number 14. The highest heaven belongs to the Lord. What did God give to mankind?
Okay,
14
to
15.
Whoa, wow.
Beautiful.
That's what I got.
May the Lord richly bless both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen.
Amen.
Do number 16 as well.
Thank you.
Okay. See, I hit that one for the next one. The heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity.
Amen.
All right.
That's what I think.
So what did he give to mankind?
The earth.
The earth.
The earth. Right. Yes. He gave it to us. All right. Very good. Thank you, Reese. And number 15. When does the psalmist state that God's people are called to extol, I'm going to add, or praise the Lord?
I'll take 17 all the way to the end.
All right.
In the States.
Take it home.
In the States. All right, the States. The dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave. But we can praise the Lord both now and forever. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For God's people are called to praise him forever.
It's 17 and 18.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I just had 18. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. There's no wrong answer. 18 is also the answer. If you just had 18, you are also correct.
Oh, you grade with a curve. I like that.
Wow. As long as we stay in the word, then we can't be wrong, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
as long as, you know, you apply it the correct way, but yes. All right, guys. So we got through those questions pretty fast, but these were pretty short psalms. So
yeah,
we read through them all.
Psalms and psalms.
Okay. Yeah. I have a question, and it's directed to all of us, and I know Pastor's going to step in. But my question is, when they were talking about, let's go back to where Psalms 115, when we did about the idols and everything. This is back, and I say probably back in Abraham's days and everything. Before Abraham's days, what caused the people to start worshiping statues and relics and stuff like that? Even though we cherish the things that we have materialistically, but back then and everything, I mean, how could they see something that was just God had made from his own hands to it, but had nothing to do with actually worshiping him? How could they really get their minds and their feelings really wrapped up into idol worshiping? I don't understand that. I mean, they couldn't do nothing, you know. And this, here's an example. When Pharaoh's son died, you know, the Egyptians had all kinds of gods and all of that. But how can they, I don't know, I just don't understand the concept of how they can idol worship.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on my knowledge, those idols that they made were visual representations of the gods that they worshipped. And so based on what I've learned is that they were making those idols so that their gods could, like, inhabit that idol and be with them. So That's all I got for you, Ollie.
Okay.
What I got was that they really didn't know God. So they had, because they couldn't see him, they didn't believe in him. So they made something that they could see and make themselves believe in that rather than believe in God himself.
It's like today. We go to church, we know God. It's just like how that quote said. It's you putting more faith in the things that you can see, touch, and feel, but not the spiritual things, or just being kind and things like that. It's just like when we get a new car, you know, we go crazy. Ooh, look at my baby, she's shining. Ain't nobody get in there. You can't smoke, you can't eat, you can't do nothing. But you worshiping that object more than are you worried about, like, who need a ride? Can I help somebody out with a ride? Can I go pick groceries up for somebody? You know, is worshiping those things like a house, a car, or money, instead of having all that. The things that we should worship most is what we're doing now, going through the Bible, reading, taking this word and being able to take his words and go out to the world to deliver it to others. We have to throw open those doors of the church at some time and be able to preach his word with confidence. We can't keep sitting in the church with closed doors. As Pastor talked about it, like if you go with somebody and they may smell funny or they may not have no teeth, that, as children of the light, that shouldn't bother us because we're trying to bring the light to others. You never know what that person can become with God's love and his love letters to us. So that's what I said. That's my two cents.
All right.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, people, like, you know, I have seen where people begin to, like, reverence the altar at church, and they like, you can't walk behind the podium and all kinds of weird things. And so, you know, I think it's in human nature, it's in our nature to want to see something, touch something, feel something. I want this to be a representation of my God. People do it with cross necklaces, they kiss it and think that, you know, they're going to get what they want just because they kissed it, you know.
Or like you said,
I think that's how they end up.
Even pastors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
well, thank you, folks. That's
you're welcome. And isn't that awesome? We were able to answer your questions.
Yes.
Together.
I just that was a good one because they didn't know God and everything like that, you know.
Right.
And it's like that today, you know. But it just bugs me. And God talks about that in the Old Testament, that idol worshiping is. You know, he's a jealous God, idol worshiping, and you know, he created man and everything. You know, it's just you know what I'm saying. It's just that all the things that he has done for those that don't even know him. I mean, he wakes them up in the morning, he gives them food, you know, or allows them to grow food and have animals to feed and to slaughter and eat and everything. You know, and it's like. That wasn't just given to you, even though you might have purchased it, but it had to have a beginning of, in order for you to have that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Hey, if I can I drag y'all over to Isaiah chapter 44? This is one of Deacon Tate's favorite chapters that he likes to talk about when he gets ready to pray. Talks about a man grabbing a piece of wood and using it for all kinds of things, and why the food is cooking and why the fire is warming. The man is deciding that he is going to make an idol out of the rest of the wood. what that's talked about is over in Isaiah chapter 44. I'm going to start reading at verse 6.
Right.
This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of Heaven's armies. I am the first and the last. There is no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I've done since ancient times, when I established a people and explained its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Do not proclaim. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? No. There's no other rock, not one. How foolish are those who manufacture idols. These prized objects are really worthless. The people who worship idols don't know this, so they are all put to shame. Who but a fool would make his own God and an idol that cannot help him one bit? All who worship idols would be disgraced, along with all these craftsmen, mere humans, who claim they can make a God. They may all stand together, but they will all stand in terror and shame. And it goes on and on and on, even over into chapter 45. It begins in 43. But what God is talking about is the futility of worshiping idols. And people manufacture them. The idol won't make itself. It will not put itself. It will not erect itself. It has to be made. So that tells you it has no independent power in itself. But people who don't know God and people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, don't get it confused. The only reason you know God like you do is because you have the Holy Spirit. Other than that, you wouldn't know him. No, you see that letter that I wrote yesterday? You wouldn't know him no more than I did. Okay, it's only when he reveals himself to us, or like Jesus said, nobody has ever seen the Father, only those to whom I have revealed him. That's who's seen the Father. And of course, John 1:12 tells us the same thing. To as many as have believed on his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, not decided by humans, but by the express will of God. So these people don't, they want to worship. Remember when we were studying William Evans' book, right, Christian Doctrines? These people want to know God. And so these forms of worship of these false gods that we see are crude attempts at trying to know God. We're supposed to be like this. Let's go over to Acts chapter 17. We know that those gods are all false and fake and phony and ridiculous, right? But look at Acts chapter 17 at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. Sound like olive, don't it? He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods." Then they took him to the high council of the city, called the Areopagus. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You are saying some strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So you see how Jesus roamed Paul right up into this group? This is the leading group. These are the people that the people in Athens look to see what's religious or what we should be doing to worship whatever God. And at this particular time in the world, the old Greek gods and goddesses of the past are not filling or not fulfilling for the people. So the whole world is really searching. As you can see, there are foreigners here and Athenians. They're all searching for new ways to worship, new gods and goddesses to worship. And so into this group, the Lord sends Paul. They're looking for something, and Paul has something brand new. They've heard about it, but now he can explain it to them. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For I was walking along and saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. So you see, they're trying to worship the true and living God. This is their best idea of doing that. And so Paul takes this opportunity to say, if you really want to worship the true and living God, because I can tell you're religious, you want to worship God. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose for the nations was to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, this is why we need to be widely read. Because these poets that he's quoting are not Christians, but these are Greek poets who they're familiar with, and he's using what they taught to help bring them toward Christ, because he's about to make a spiritual leap that's going to make a lot of them uncomfortable. But some of them, because they have this concept, okay, of God, it might be more easier for them to make the leap than for others. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So in him we live, move, and exist. It's not something that God said, but it's something that one of their poets said. But we always quote it as Jesus said, but he didn't. One of their own poets said it. And another one of their own poets, and if you study it up, I used to know their names, both of these poets who said, in him we live and move and exist, and the poet who said, we are his offspring. And so he takes something they're familiar with, right? Because he knows they're trying to know God, but they don't. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold and silver and stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. That's before Christ. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day of judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. Now, of course, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So you see, God wants us. He will land us right in the presence of these kinds of people who have these beliefs. But the first thing you should know is they're trying to know God. That's why they worship Allah. That's why they practice Buddhism, or that's why the Hinduism. This is why all these exist. The easiest ones to get are the Muslims, Islamists, or Nation of Islam, because all of them, to find themselves, trace themselves back to Ishmael, son of Abraham. And so the argument then becomes, is Ishmael the promised son, or is Isaac the promised son? And the evidence is clear that Isaac is, and you can find that Old and New Testament. So what you do is what the Lord Jesus did by himself. I've told you before there was a man who I met on Facebook who had become a Christian, and how he was converted to Christ was through, he was a Muslim, a true Muslim, not the Nation of Islam, the black cult, but a true Muslim, true Islam, okay? Yeah. Submission. He was a worshiper, and he began to study. You know how a lot of Christians do? They decide to read the Bible. Well, he decided to read the Quran. And what he found was astounding. 25 miracles were attached to Jesus or attributed to him, and Jesus' virgin birth was there. Okay, of course, he escaped from the cross was also written there. But he came to the conclusion that since Jesus was born miraculously like no other human being, and since Jesus was performing miracles like no other human being had ever performed, he came to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, and he came to faith in Christ. That's why we need to familiarize ourselves with what people believe. So when you run into one of them, you know exactly which scripture. As you notice, Paul wasn't quoting a whole bunch of scriptures here, even though he was quoting a whole bunch of scriptures here. He was doing it, but you didn't hear it. But it's clearly there. He went all the way back to Genesis, came to Abraham, came up to Jesus, and then lifted up Jesus to believe in. He preached a real quick 5-10 minute sermon, if you just read it and time it. And he got some, and some he didn't. Some he planted seeds in, they wanted to know more. And some, they became believers. They became followers. So on the one hand, others couldn't let go of what they heard. Others were just silly, and you're going to have them. But some said, well, you know, we need to hear you some more. Just like the Bereans, they were like that. I believe they're in this chapter. Yeah, they are just above this. Paul spoke to them about the words in verse 10 through 15. He spoke to them about the word, and they were more open-minded than the people in Thessalonica. And so, but they went home. They searched the scriptures day after day. So that means they went to hear Paul and Silas day after day. Notice they did it every day. We have trouble doing it once a week. Or twice a week, Lord help us. But they did it every day. That's how bad they wanted to know. So they listened every day, and they went home and searched the scriptures. They weren't like us. They didn't just believe the pastor or the preacher or the Bible teacher. They went home, and they opened up their Bible. They opened them scrolls, the Old Testament scrolls they had, to see if they matched up with what Paul was talking about. And as a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. So, yeah, that thing is out there. But God has a plan for us, a word for us to give to them so that, you know, they don't remain lost, but they get found. Now, can I take y'all to Psalm 113? Nicole, forgive me for running all over the place, but I have one more question. Don't kick me out your class. I have one more question.
All right.
Hey, man, I think it was 113. Maybe see. Maybe it's
112.
Psalm 113. No, 112. Okay. Go to 112, and I have a question.
112.
The question is... They, verse 9, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Who quoted that passage of scripture in the New Testament in relation to giving?
They share freely and give tenderness unto all the need. I'm just asking, is that Paul talking to one of those
churches? I know
what book it's in.
Oh.
What book is it in?
It's in the book of Acts.
Baby, mm-hmm. Holy Ghost say 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 9 and 9.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians what 9 and 9. And that Psalms what?
Okay.
115 and 112 And this is the corresponding scripture is in 2 Corinthians 9, what?
9 and 9.
Don't Jesus got jokes? He knew in 1551 when the Bible was being put into chapters and verses, he knew that in Psalm 112, verse 9, would match up with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, and they would say the same thing. He did the same thing with John's gospel in John 3:16. Genesis 3:15 is what? God making a promise that Jesus is coming, right?
Right.
And what does John 3:16 say?
God.
Okay, so if we got the promise in Genesis 3:15 and the promise realized in John what?
It was 3:16.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord is awesome. How he, there's other scriptures in the Bible that do the same thing, but he was showing me that, mm-hmm. and I was like, wow. He said, yeah, but a lot of people don't even notice that. But he 1:12:9, 2 Corinthians 9, Genesis 3:15, John 3:16, the answer to 3:15 or culmination of it. But, yeah, I just wanted to point that out, that when mm-hmm. we see these scriptures quoted in the Old Testament, they mean the same, and they pop up. They're quoted from the Old Testament in the New Testament. That validates them mm-hmm. as inspired word of God, even though we have what
okay.
Peter said about the word. So.
Yeah, I was thinking of Acts where it talks about the believers were one in heart and mind, and
chapter
they shared
four.
Everything that they had with each other. Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Acts chapter 4:33 or 2.
32.
All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. That same concept, the exact same concept. That's what I don't know if Janice is talking to y'all about hermeneutics. How to interpret scripture and letting it interpret itself and see what we write and getting it in the right context.
Mm-hmm.
The law of first mention. I love that one. I use it all the time. Wherever it was first mentioned in the Bible, in that context, that's what it means throughout the Bible. And that
way
you get... You get a correct interpretation of scripture, and not
mm-hmm.
you know, because I hate it when I hear people say, "I can look at this scripture and it mean one thing. You can look at it mean something else." That no, it don't. that is not God. We're all different, true, and we all may respond to it differently. But
right.
it means the exact same thing to every one of us who read it. If God said, thou
mm-hmm.
shalt sit down, how we think about it, well, that's the way we think about it. But it literally means whoever you are, whatever your character is, sit down. However you get to that, it means the same thing. We can't have 15 interpretations of one verse. That's not going to happen. God meant what he said when he said what he said. And we, well, no matter who we are, even though we're all different, and that is amazing about God. Every single one of us are totally different. But he gave us one Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that one Bible, whatever it says, means the exact same thing to no matter who reads it, no matter what your personality is, okay, it means the same. Thou shalt not lie. I don't care what kind of person you are, it means you shall not lie. You could be a very confident person. You could be a low self-esteem person. You could be a scary person. You could be a super brave person, courageous person, whatever kind of person you are. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal.
Mm-hmm.
One book,
mm-hmm.
and it means the same thing to everybody who reads it, even though we're all different. Okay, I'm going to blame all this preaching on Oliver, Eric with the well. When you say well, preachers get turned on. And Nicole teaching an awesome class. And, you know, Reese busting out with the breaking out with the first answers. And you know, everybody just jumping in and getting it all done. And Avitria. So I got a footnote on that. And, you know, all that stuff got me hyped. So I forgive all y'all for hyping me up. And making me, you know, pontificate like that. And I blame Nicole for letting me pontificate like that. But I appreciate you letting me pontificate like that.
No problem.
All right.
That was
all
good.
Right,
that was
guys.
Good stuff.
So that was Psalm 111. Psalm 111 through 115. So we'll be back next week, same time, with 116. I think it's through 120, but I think I got like a detour somewhere up in there. But we
yeah, you got a detour. Right. Let me. You got to jump in 1 second. Excuse me. You got a detour.
Okay.
It's going to be Psalm 116, 117, 118, and 120. And then following that, 119 has to be by itself because the Lord, like, are you retarded? How are you going to do that? And so, you know. So anyway, that's the way that's going to go. And then, of course, 121 through 125, and then we all set.
All right.
Okay, also, before you pray us out, don't forget to keep Darius Freeman in prayer. Baby Holy Ghost had a talk with Mother Irma. Keep praying for her and for her strength and all the mothers on the move. Trust me, they need prayer and they appreciate it. And also keep Brother Tyrone Hamilton in your prayers. And
yes.
My daughter always sending me prayer requests of her friends. Lamonte, he needs prayer. Pray for him for his healing and restoration. That's what he needs, healing and restoration. So pray for him. She asked me to add him to the prayer list, and I think that is pretty much it.
All right, let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your unfailing love. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We are just so blessed to call you, Father. We're so blessed that we know you and we realize that it's not because of anything that we've done. It's because the Holy Spirit has revealed you to us. And so we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have a family that we can come together and read your word and we can look into your word to answer all of our questions. We don't have to have meetings and ponder over everyone's opinions. We can actually go to your word and you'll settle it all. And so we just thank you for that. We just ask that you bless those who have come today. They press their way. They stop doing what they're doing so that they could know your word, Lord, and we know that that does not go unnoticed for you. We just thank you, Lord, for them. We thank you for a great week, and we ask that you continue to bless us as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right.
Amen.
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 I wish I was close by. I just made a pound cake.
Oh, really? I wish I was close by. Made a pound cake. Bible class. Made a pound cake. I'm telling people, like, they be like, y'all got to go to Running for Christ. You ain't going to believe it. They be making pound cakes in Bible class.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, Running for Christ. Well.
Ooh, get you a slice of cake after class. Contact the willing workers. Okay, y'all. God bless. God keep you. Thank you, Nicole. Looking forward to next week. Coming up this Saturday is going to be Pastor John McFall bringing the word. And coming up this Sunday, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, she got the preaching duties and the praise teaming duties. And, amen, she'll be double dutying on this Sunday, but I'm sure she's ready because she got the word. Amen, and the word got her. So, and come on out Saturday for Pastor John McFall. And then Sunday for Pastor Janice Tate. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
God keep you. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night, John boy.
Oh, <Lord. laughs>